This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la vacuna que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
What up?
Welcome to Fresh Ball Fall. It's the season of pumpkin spice and making sure your crotch looks nice. That means sipping cider in a fall breeze and using Manscaped products to trim your balls with ease. That's right. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped, a company here to make sure that your foliage isn't the only thing shedding this excess weeds. Heck, even Mother Nature knows it's time to lose the excess clutter for fall. Join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and use free shipping code K100. So you want to know about Manscaped? Because this is one of our favorite products we've been promoting for a long time. Whether you're brand new or already with us at Manscaped, you use the crown jewel of care for your family jewels, the Platinum Package 4.0. This is a great product. With this glorious package, you can align your entire hygiene routine all in one swoop. Inside the 10-part Platinum Package is everything you know and love about the Performance Package Plus. Some shower goodies included to elevate your grooming game to platinum level. The Lawnmower 4.0 body trimmer, that's my favorite product, and Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin safe technology to protect your delicate parts and holes. Both are waterproof, so you can keep scaping even as the weather's changing and use it in the shower. In addition to shaving, you can now completely upgrade your shower routine with the Ultra Premium Body Wash and Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo Plus Conditioner. You'll have your skin and hair feeling hydrated and smelling fresh. And don't forget to apply their aluminum-free Ultra Premium Deodorant. And don't worry, it's not pumpkin spice. It's a cologne-quality fragrance to make it smell good. But we shouldn't save a signature scent for our pits. Use the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner to make sure your go-to smell is top shelf and not sweaty balls. Manscaped even threw in 2 free gifts to their Platinum Package 4.0. The Manscaped Boxers, which are fantastic. They're like silky smooth. And the Shed Travel Bag. It's an awesome travel bag. You can put in like whenever you travel, you can put everything in there. Works great. And both are specially made to hold your goodies. Get the Platinum Package this fall. These products are guaranteed to be hits for your dangly bits. I love the rhymes. So go to manscaped.com and get 20% off for free shipping with the code K100. That's 20% off.com with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use code K100. Manscaped. Clear out the leaves. It's your tree trunk's time to shine.
You know, we can't put over this product enough. All three of us use it. It's our best-selling product. The thing's incredible. I mean, they market it just for your nether regions, but you can use it for your face, under your arms, on your head, on your chest. Everybody shaves except German women, nothing. So women can use it too. The deodorant is great. The leather back is the, and bro, we're not just trying to hawk this. We use this. This thing is excellent. You know, it's aerodynamic shape. It's got a light on in case you're shaving in the dark. It's waterproof. Their briefs, without a doubt, are the most comfortable I've ever worn, and they come free. They've got a nose clipper, hair clipper. I mean, they bring everything, bro. I mean, if you want to stay groomed, stay clean for your significant other, check out Manscaped. Boom.
Conan.
What up?
I get it. You want to raise your testosterone, but do any of these boosters actually work?
To tell you the truth, Disco, I don't know. I only use legacy subs, and let me tell you this. This is empirical shit. I went to get my testosterone levels done before I was using legacy subs, and it was very low, and then afterwards it did increase, so it does work.
Yeah, TestX9 works. And don't just take legacy subs' word for it. They show you how, with links to independent studies on every single one of the 9 key ingredients. No bull, no bro science, just facts. TestX9 is an NSF-certified third-party lab tested made in the USA. Level up your strength, energy, libido, and drive now with TestX9 from Legacy Sports Nutrition. If you want to really level up, go for the ultimate test deck, adding T-Assist, a pro-grade estrogen inhibitor and test enhancer, and the best-selling sleep aid, Recovery PM, the show's favorite, and see why improving your sleep is the key to unlocking your mental and physical potential. Guys, did you know that the majority of testosterone release occurs while you sleep? That's why we put this stuff together and why it really works. Stop setting for average, go to legacysubs.com and use the code K100 for 10% off your entire order. And if you subscribe to have it shipped every 30 days, you can still get the discount every single time. It's brought to you by 3-time world champion Nick Aldis and 10-time world champion Mickey James, who developed and used these products themselves. LegacySubs.com. Level up with Legacy, and the code is K100.
And let me tell you, we've been doing business with Nick for a while now. This is one of our most requested items. People always buy all his supplements because they work. Or if not, he would have left our show a long time ago. We use them and they work. And it's not just this testosterone. They've got stuff for your memory, for your energy, for sleeping. Go check them out at Legacy Subs. Boom.
All right, next is from Wayne Grolifine, and subject is Tony Khan, Booker of 2022. This one is for Joe and Disco. Just recently, Tony Khan was being interviewed, and he said his goal for the year is to win the Booker of the Year award again from Dave Meltzer. Nothing about expanding the audience, fixing those dropping ticket sales, getting the budget on the right track. Boys, what so you think about Tony Khan saying this kind of stuff still? I mean, isn't he time that he stops being an effing dumb mark and start acting like a billionaire boss? Did you see these comments, Conan?
Who?
That Tony Khan
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not a good look for him. And, bro, here's exactly this. The problems that AEW are having right now, okay, are self-imposed by them not listening to people like me and Conan and Eric and stuff. The same, dude, you have to expand your audience. And you have to get outside the bubble of your basic fan base and stuff and grow your audience, because they are having trouble now filling seats for the live TV tapings because they haven't grown their audience. And it's like, when you don't grow your audience over the course of time, you're going to have trouble filling seats to your shows. And like, this is an absolute byproduct of that. And like, you know, him wanting to be Booker of the Year and win these stupid awards for, you know, it's getting you nowhere. You know, it's not solving your problems. It's just giving. If you want to win the Book of the Year, so you can go tweet and brag about it, and you know you're still having trouble, you know, filling half the seats to your live TV tapings. It's like, dude, you definitely have your priorities mixed up here. What would you say, Conan?
Well, he asked you and Joe. So, what does Joe think?
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, why don't I ask you this? I wonder.
I don't know.
Who knows?
What do you think, Joe?
First off, this oversaturation of Tony Khan hate emails gets a little irritating, but I think that was, you know, it's not a smart quote. There is a lot of problems there right now, including backstage, so he should have commented more on being focused on fixing the locker room harmony and you know, getting ticket sales back up. One, not at, yeah, it was a markish statement, you know, it just was.
Next is from Kevin Donald. The subject is chaos. Sean Rossap and Dave Meltzer both confirmed this. I find this story hard to believe, Cody, and you might be hearing it for the first time too. Sean Rossap and Dave Meltzer both confirmed this. Tony Khan told Andrade that he would not fire him if he got into a fight with Sammy Guevara, but that he would send him home. What the F is going on in AEW? Isn't that the perfect time for an unsafe work environment lawsuit? CM Punk's lawyers must be doing cartwheels at this news. Guys, what do you think about Tony Khan being so insistent on none of his roster going back to WWE that he is, more or less, allowing and excusing violence backstage? He's an effing asshole, and he needs to act like a man before something goes seriously wrong here. Why do these people hate Tony Khan so much in our mailbag?
I don't know.
Yeah. Conan, what do you think about this? Is this true? I'd love to hear this from Andrade. I don't know what the source is here. Have to come from either Tony. I want to hear from either, like, if this is sourced from Tony Khan or Andrade. You know, I find this bizarre.
Was that the whole letter?
Yeah.
Okay. You can't say he allows it because he suspended Andrade and pulled his match on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised he's paying him or didn't fine him, you know, and I'm surprised he let Sammy stay.
Right.
And I really believe, without knowing what Tony actually thinks, but just, you know, I just think that the image of people leaving is something he wants to avoid.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
makes
true.
Him and his company look bad, and he doesn't want anything making him look bad.
Right. All right. Next is from
in a quick search, I don't see any reports that Tony Khan said that, but that's just from Google, and I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything on Fightful either.
Really? So let's suspend the guy for misinformation.
Kevin Donald, you son of a bitch.
Jason Turpin, subject is Eric Watts. Hey, guys, my question is about Eric Watts. Eric Watts did an interview with Hannibal and told a wild story about Lex Luger. He said in 98-99, Pistol Pez Watley used the bathroom in Luger's locker room and really stunk it up. This upset Luger so much he tried to get Watley fired. Eric Watts said that he liked Watley and that he wanted to fight Luger after hearing this. Watts said that he waited until the last match in his WCW contract to fight him. He stayed in the parking lot after the show, but Luger never showed up. Disco, you wrestled Watts' last WCW match. Do you remember any of this? And is Eric Watts still credible? He also said he stretched Rick Rude in the early 90s. Thanks. That's from Jason Turpin. P.S. Nick Houseman is a snowflake. I didn't hear anything of this, and this sounds absurd. Okay, that like Eric was waiting in the parking lot for Luger, and that Luger didn't show. This is absurd. This is Eric working whoever he – this is Eric working Hannibal, okay, because I don't believe – none of that makes any sense whatsoever. You got any comment on this, Conan?
I never heard about that.
Me neither. So I think it's bullshit.
I did read a story in a book. I think it was Sex, Lies, and Headlocks, which is a pretty well-known book from the late 90s. But anyway, Watts did tell a story that Rick Rude was in the locker room saying – if he got into an amateur wrestling position, nobody could turn him over. And Eric said he turned him over three times, and Rude was pissed and shit like that.
He's been telling
the story.
Next is from Mike Durbin.
Wait 1 minute.
Subject is Cauliflower. Hi, Conan. You barely discussed your recent induction to the Cauliflower Alley Hall of Fame. It's not a big deal to you? Can you please discuss your trip to Vegas? Did you meet up with your great good friend Glenn at all? Could you get emotional during the ceremony? Did you make a speech? I haven't seen any video from the ceremony and only one photo of you with your award. It's from Mike Durbin. P.S. Great segment with Nick Houseman last week. It was awesome to hear a wrestling journalist on K100 actually discuss wrestling news. Didn't spend 95% of the time discussing himself and how wrestling only makes up a small portion of his income and had a microphone and headphones. Hope he comes back on soon. All right.
Okay. So, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong. Did you not put my speech on as like an Easter egg that week?
Yeah, your speech was the Easter egg, and we also had a short segment where you discussed.
Okay, do you not listen to the show, you fucking incel?
You did miss a couple of discussions about it. Well, one discussion and then some of the speech, Mike.
Okay, so do you not listen to the show, nutbag? Suspend this fucking guy.
Durbin suspended.
Wow.
1 week. Next is from Gary Hans. The subject is retired. Hey, K100, I was watching T.A. Magnum shoot interview over over on Hannibal.
T.A. Magnum? Do you mean Magnum? Magnum T.A.?
T.A. He says T.A. Magnum. Over on Hannibal TV, and he said in an interview that Tessa Blanchard stepped away from wrestling, has gone back to school to study for a GED, that she would only do an indie show here and there for money. Have you guys heard anything more about this? I think her not getting a shot in a big-time company like WWE or AEW really is a shame. I was hoping that Triple H would be willing to give her a chance to have a big run. yeah, if she's quitting, she quit wrestling. That's horrible. She's very talented. You know, she's one of the top probably five workers, female workers in the business. You know, for work. You know, she looks all right, and this is where cancel culture, like, you know, she's getting blackballed, and like, this is where the punishment does not fit the crime. You know, she's been far too severely punished. If she literally has had to quit wrestling because she's getting blackballed, it's ridiculous. What do you think about this?
Maybe she needed to step away for her mental. I talk with her husband all the time, Doug. I'll ask him next time, but she did have maturity issues, so maybe she, you know, the time away will help her.
Right. Next is from Hank Beanie. The subject is Conan's heat with Joe Hennig. Do you know who Joe Hennig is, Conan?
Yeah, Kurt Hennig's son.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Wrestling Inc. made a list of wrestlers that hate each other in real life. All of the well-known beefs like Bret Hart and Goldberg were on there. However, there's one beef on the list that caught my eye. It was Conan and Joe Hennig. The Dirt Sheet writer says the beef started from a Twitter thread in 2014 where Conan took shots at Hennig. Hennig called Conan, quote, some washed-up dude my dad hated putting over, unquote. To me, it didn't seem like much at all. What does Conan think about Joe Hennig, and do they really have any heat? Thank you.
Well, what happened was when I was doing MLW, he was like in a tag team with somebody. I forgot who it was. And he had some other name. It wasn't – was it
Curtis Axel. Yeah.
Curtis Axel, yeah.
Yeah. So I had said that he had no charisma, which he didn't. And I didn't see much of his dad's talent in him, which I didn't. And I wasn't wrong, because where is he right now? So he countered.
Wait, you didn't see Kurt Hennig's talent?
No, Joe's talent, his son.
Right. Oh, I think he just said you didn't see anything like Kurt Hennig.
Yeah, I didn't see, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you didn't see the Kurt Hennig in Joe Hennig.
Right.
Right. Kurt Hennig's far more talented than Joe Hennig ever was, is what
he's
basically.
And I think I might have tweeted it out or something, right?
Yes.
So, of course, he was mad. So then he said that, which I'm not saying Kurt never said it, but I'll tell you the truth. Kurt treated me too good to have said that. We had a great relationship. And I remember when we were doing the Rap is Crap thing, he was really down in the dumps. And we had some real, real good conversations. And he broke out of the funk. I loved Kurt. You know, and I know you knew him. He was always a fun guy to be around, and he liked working with me.
Yeah,
you know
he's a prankster, too. He's funny.
Yeah, we had a great relationship, and I really miss that guy. Yeah, but I don't hate Joe. Just I didn't think he had charisma.
You were just hating, not stating.
Right.
He was actually a WWE producer earlier this year, but he's been let go. But, yeah, I didn't know that.
Next is from Lars Kunitz.
That was very
and the subject is, how real is it? I've listened to Cornette Experience on YouTube, and Cornette and Lass are really burying John Moxley pretty hard. They're literally calling him the worst active wrestler in the world. What I am asking is, how real is that? When you don't find a little strange, a person that Cornette thinks is the worst just so happens to be the top guy in AEW? Seems like a pile of clickbait to me. Also, Conan, Disco, and Joe. Tony Khan himself has admitted that John Moxley has been working without a contract for months. Wasn't that a little risky of him? Billy Robot reported on your show that Moxley was signing with WWE in 2023, so I hope you guys have a punishment place for his fake stories. I don't recall him ever saying that. On our show? No. He never talked about
it. Not only that, if I remember correctly, I remember reading he just signed for 5 years.
He just did.
Billy would have never said that, because I would have called him out on that. All right. Maybe he said on the Wrestling Informer show, so whatever. I would have said that Moxley should sign with WWE and not re-sign with AEW, because he can be working in the top spot with Roman, you know? But I will say this. Cornette hates the fact that Moxley still does these indie shows where he's bleeding all over the place and stuff, and then like getting color and stuff. And like thinks
like
that's
in GCW and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, right. I think that's ridiculous, too, that he does that. You know, but like when Tony lets him do it, he just does it. But like, but he calls him Moxley the plumber. He says he looks like a plumber, and you know, doesn't like his work, doesn't like the way he comes through the crowd and stuff. So he just sees his hates on him. So he never really puts his. Actually, he did.
He put
the promo over. So it was one of the best promos of the year. You know, and I've always said Moxley's got a great. You know, the guy can talk. He's one of the fastest talkers in the business that never stumbles over a word. You know, what shows you how confident the guy is on the mic. Because, like, when you talk that fast, it's very difficult. So it's very easy to slip up and, like, misspeak. And he never does. You got any comments, Conan?
What was the question?
This is about Cornette and Mox thinking Moxley's so terrible and stuff.
I just found
You know, here's the thing, bro. I don't care what other people think. I have my own fucking thoughts. I don't follow what Jim said. I like Jim. I think he's funny. But whatever he says about anybody, I don't really care. I have my own mind. I make up my own mind. I think Moxley's very talented and, you know, and he probably does the GCW shows because that's where he started, and he likes to show love to where he started, just like the Young Bucks do when they go back to PWG, or Pentagon and Phoenix still wrestle for AAA. It's their way of saying, hey, you guy gave me my first break when I was nobody, and here's the favor. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it looks here like from on the YouTube channel, Billy reported Moxley returning to WWE 8 months ago on his other show that's on the channel, not the show.
Yeah. So next is from Justin Alkay, and the subject is back to an old question I asked. Hey, Joe Disco and Conan, I remember a while back I sent you guys a video saying Andrew Tate was interested in joining the WWE. I remember you guys didn't know who he was, but at the time, and still right now, he's the most hated person on the internet. Here's a clip of Paul Heyman referencing him on SmackDown. Obviously, Paul loving controversy. Don't play this.
Okay.
Obviously, because we haven't done the show review yet. We're going to talk about this. Okay. We don't have to play it. Okay. Obviously, Paul loving controversy. He'd love to bring someone like that in, but do you guys think the WWE bring him in seeing as that his views got him canceled on every major platform? He'd definitely bring a lot of attention to WWE, but obviously, it would bring a lot of bad heat. No. This guy's like, we're in a time right now where, like, because of social media, people can voice a displeasure in things that you say. Like, if you want to be in the public sphere and you want to say things publicly and stuff and thing, be aware that there's an audience of people that are going to vilify you for the things that you say and make their opinions known. And we see the mobs do this, you know? You get what you deserve, kind of basically in this day and age. It's not that it's right or wrong, but it's like, you know, you can either apologize or you can just say, I'm not going to apologize for anything, and just keep on talking and take the criticism, you know? So, but it was interesting that Paul basically was talking about, you know, putting Paul Heyman in the promo was basically putting Logan Paul in the same breath as like he even mentioned, like Ben Shapiro, Jordan Peterson, like all these other viral superstar, you know, viral people that have made a thing, you know, on YouTube and stuff. So, you know,
I don't think that's the audience for those people. Right. And so I don't think they would bring him in, but I did like when Paulie said, I would love to debate Ben Shapiro. Right. I'd love to see that debate, even though, bro, as sharp as Paulie is, you better come correct with Ben because he's Rain Man. He's kind of like Meltzer. He comes with facts and figures and statistics, and he knows his shit. That's what he does for a living, you know.
Next is from Jay Daniels. The subject is Jay from Norman, Oklahoma, Meltzer double standard. I just got done watching Bray Wyatt's incredible return on YouTube and peeped a clip from Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez. Meltzer couldn't go 2 minutes before mentioning how Bray Wyatt was heavier than before in a negative manner. When Jericho first went to Japan, he said Jericho put on weight on purpose to look more like a heel. Why does Dave have a double standard when it comes to Jericho's and Bray Wyatt's weight?
Two completely different situations?
Yeah, there are two completely. But bro, I'm like, you know.
Do you want to hear the clip?
I don't know. I already heard it. You can play. It's only 27 seconds long. Go ahead and play it.
Question now is, what do you do with the guy?
Yeah, it was very well done. He got a big, big reaction, and he looked very heavy. I don't know if you noticed that. Very, very.
Well, it was very dark, so I didn't really notice that.
Yeah. I mean, like, more than usual. So, at least the way it was shot. It wasn't shot in a way that made him look like he was in shape at all. But, I mean, he's always been heavy, but it looked more than usual.
Question now is.
All right. Well, I mean, what was Dave looking at him with a magnifying glass?
It was dark, bro. They basically
showed
him like for the chest up.
His face. Yeah. plus, here's the other thing for this guy. What's his name?
The guy that sent the email in.
Yeah.
Jay from Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Does Dave think for you? If it doesn't bother you, what do you care? I don't care about his weight. I like his stilo, unless it hampers his wrestling. If he's so overweight that it hampers his wrestling, then. But other than that, I'm into the character, dude.
Yeah, me too. No, Dave is providing a lot of very, you know, newsworthy sound bites these days. You know, like a lot of his content that he's talks about, it goes viral. You know, so he's very controversial these days. Next is from Ron Soron, and the subject is Roman Reigns can't fight. Bitter Jimmy Smith. Hello. Here's a topic that might be interested for your show. Many people online have been calling former Raw commentator Jimmy Smith extremely bitter.
Ooh.
Jimmy Smith. Extremely bitter for making these comments less than a week after being fired. basically saying WWE is more CM Punk than Brock Lesnar and that Roman Reigns can't fight and is just a big muscular dude. He also called WWE performers a bunch of stunt actors who are not fighters, etc. Here is a link below so you can read the rest of what he has to say about WWE. Do you agree with Jimmy Smith or do you think he's a bitter? He's bitter, perhaps a little both. You be the judge.
Yeah, I don't know who he is, and I really don't give a fuck. And I would say this.
I think he was the Raw
commentator. This is what I would say. I don't need to read shit. Here, this is what I would say. Run up on Roman and see what happens. Okay? The guy was a defensive tackle for Georgia Tech, right. Played organized football. He's Samoan. I guarantee you he can fight, and I guarantee you could rip Jimmy Smith, whoever the fuck this guy is. It's a new asshole, and fucking beat the brakes off of him. Sounds like, he does sound bitter to me. I don't know who he is, but that's stupid.
It's funny that the guy was a Raw announcer and nobody knows who he is. It's pretty hysterical. Yeah. Like, this shows how good he must have been.
I didn't remember.
It's like, seriously, if, like, you got fired and you were
Joe
on.
Joe remembers
you were,
him.
No, I said
I gotta love this one.
I
Joe
said,
remembers
I didn't,
him.
I said I didn't remember him.
Oh.
Yeah, next is from Hughie.
That's not gonna turn out well.
Subject is YouTube success despite. Okay, I can happily report that the K100 YouTube channel, despite YouTube itself being a complete and utter shark sandwich since October 1st and being practically impossible
to get
out of
there. Okay, first of all, I forgot this. It's from Hughesley.
Right. The channel has now passed the 32 million view count total. By the way, Conan, I heard that you were constantly late to WCW Nitro tapings because you simply could not stop watching Wesley Snipes vampire films. That's right. Conan was addicted to the blade. Okay, this is a month suspension.
Okay.
Yeah, that's atrocious.
Let me say this.
Why would you do this?
That's not only stupid.
For a month, banned for a month from the mailbag, okay?
Right. And here's the thing, dude. That's not only stupid, it's not funny. And if you had half a brain, you'd be dangerous. If you had a clue, you'd still be clueless. You're lucky you have a job with us because we pulled you from your specialty, which is giving rusty trombones and manning the glory holes at your local Irish watering holes. You're an unfunny dirtbag douche. Suspend this feeble-minded Claude Joe.
Yeah, terrible.
Please don't ever send another letter. Hughesley, please don't ever send another letter in here again. It will not be read.
I'll read it anyway. Next is from White Outside Pony Ellie Goulding. Jesus. And the subject is Balor's future. I just finished Extreme Rules 2022. Great show. And I thought the best match of the card was Edge versus Finn. To me, Balor is showing so much more personality and natural superstar charisma as a heel that he simply just doesn't have as a face. Even when he's dressed up like a demon. My question is, do you guys think that Balor has what it takes to ever be a top guy again? Or do you think that it's a bad thing, it's upper mid card for the rest of his career? P.S. Conan, have you ever heard anything about Gallows and Anderson returning to WWE?
Oh, I can guarantee
that. They just did yesterday.
Okay. Finn definitely has the time. Bro, he had the belt, and then he got hurt in a match with
Rollins.
And Rollins was out for like 6 to 8 months, you know? So it was like he can be in the top spot. I definitely do like him better as a heel. You know, what
especially
do you
with the stable backing him now, you know?
Yeah, I've always been a Finn Balor fan, and he has top guy potential 100%.
Next from Luke Smith. Hey, boys, just want to get your feedback on AEW's booking philosophies as opposed to the WWE. For the WWE, using three characters as an example, Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens, the stories these guys have been involved in the past 12 months alone have been great. Owens just main evented WrestleMania with Steve Austin, carried their entire program in his own so that Austin could give the Mania crowd the huge pop, and the surprise match. Sammy did all his conspiracy stuff and the Jackass program and now the Bloodline, and Reigns has just been a league of his own. But it feels like the Meltzers and the Alvarez still discredit the WWE stories and side with AEW as the best wrestling show. I don't understand what they're seeing. I remember the moments, I remember the pops, I remember the storylines. The matches are good too, but almost every wrestler can have a good match nowadays. In WWE, I see the Bloodline, Judgment Day, Edge, Rey Mysterio, Imperium, the Brawling Brutes, Bray Wyatt is now back, Cross and Scarlet are now back, Phantasma just debuted with his faction. There's so many things to look forward to. In AEW, the only person I make sure I see each week is MJF. Who has more of an upside going into 2023? AEW's in-ring five-star match philosophy or WWE storyline-heavy approach? Thanks from this Luke Smith from Brisbane in Australia. The one that's working is the one that's outdrawing the other one by a million fans. You know, like people don't, you know, AEW's been around for 3 years now, and they're still getting, you know, outdrawn 2-1 by the WWE audience. You know, so it's like they're doing the WWE's. You know, they're doing their stuff right. You know, episodic storytelling. And the thing with Brian and Dave, I keep talking about this, like, you know, dude, when you have to watch the shows and, like, you know, and you're going to watch the shows regardless, like, because you have to, you kind of miss out on how the strength of the other content, the stuff that tries to get you to watch the shows, the character development, the backstage interviews, the stuff. I don't think that Brian and Dave really put any, like, you know, strength in that. I think they just look at wrestling. It's like, okay, let's get to the matches so I can rate the matches, which is kind of like the way they view these shows, you know, because, like, you can't, you know, and that's a part of, like, just being a critic and not an actual writer. Like, not an actual booker. Like, if you've never been in a production meeting before and you've never written a show before, it's like, it's very difficult to kind of critique that content, you know, because you don't know what goes into it. And sometimes, like, what you're trying to accomplish, like, these guys look at the show as like, okay, let's get these matches and watch these matches, see how good these matches are. But that's just a small part of the show. Like, you know, nobody really sucks in wrestling today. If you're on TV, you're a serviceable professional wrestler, with the exception maybe some of the girls aren't, right? But, you know, trying to, like, talk about the quality of a show is whether a match, one match was better than another, or the work was better. It's like, just look at the audience. You know, 2 million people watch WWE each week. You know, barely a million, give or take 100,000 watch AEW. And AEW is very wrestling-oriented. The work, look at these matches. You know, they book for the matches, and there's not a lot of good promos on the show. And it's like, you know, you just look at the numbers, and it tells a story. What do you think?
You know, here's the problem. I like Dave as a friend, respect his opinion, but you don't have to agree with everything he says either, you know? Right. I mean, I think he's wrong. If he did say that AEW is a better show, I think he's wrong. The right. better show right now to me is WWE.
And it's like, if you want to dissect these shows, like, one's better than the other because you think the matches are better, that's like
WWE has some good, great matches.
They get some great matches, seriously. Yeah. Like, so that's, you know, that's the thing, but you can't look at the content that they're putting out there and not think that, like, the AEW is a better show than WWE, especially just look at the video packages. You know, it's just, like, more professional. They're next level. They're as good as the NFL, UFC, just like any of these places, you know.
In production, they are.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so that was, thank you for that submission, Luke from Brisbane. Daniel Pesnell, subject is the fallout from AEW All Out of work. Hey, guys. Oh, God. During the week leading to All Out, I recall Tony Khan saying that after the pay-per-view, the AEW would never be the same again, or words to that effect. So if the incident after the scrum never happened, what exactly would be pointing to as the reasons for the drastic change TK was referring to? Punk beating Moxley was kind of expected. MJF returning was a surprise, but hardly an impact that changes AEW forever. The post-scrum fight has been talked about for weeks. And with the Elite and Punk all suspended, is this a work? This is the only story from All Out that has meant the company will never be the same. Love the mailbag segments. Thanks for your entertainment, guys. No, it's not a work. You don't do a work and then send everybody home and they're not on TV anymore. That's not the way to do a work. You know, you turn it into something real. You use them to draw, you know. So, yeah, that'll go ahead. You got any comment?
What was the question?
Was it a work?
Of course not.
Okay, next from Anthony Hunt. The subject is Legado del Fantasma has arrived. K100 crew, greetings, guys. Sometimes we make no sense. Santos Escobar, Legado del Fantasma debut on Friday Night SmackDown there was amazing, and partnering up with Zelina Vega was a smart move. My question is, should WWE send Dominic Mysterio to SmackDown to join them? He'd fit in better. All you have to do is have an AJ Styles replacement in Judgment Day. Question for Conan. Do you think this group would work for Dominic? Sincerely, that's Anthony Hunt for Philly. P.S. What I meant by WWE is it seems like they forced Dominic on the Judgment Day storyline, and all they had to do is be patient. I think be patient. Bro, how long was Ray and Dominic, like, that storyline going on?
I don't know.
A long time, right?
Almost a couple of years, right?
This guy says it seems like they forced it.
Yeah, I think he fits in perfect with Judgment Day. Yeah,
he fits in perfect with Judgment Day. And I was at the pay-per-view, and he got more heat than anyone else that night.
He really?
The crowd hates Dominic. Yeah, they hate him.
Wow, that's good. Next is from John Kamepa, and the subject is Conan versus Sheamus. Conan, recently been heaping praise on Sheamus for his work lately, and I don't think a single person alive in the brain would disagree with you. At the same time, you said that you had, for lack of a better word, confrontation backstage with Sheamus, where he asked if you had some kind of problem with him. Can you maybe go a little bit more into that story? I used to think that Sheamus was a channel-changing bore, but nowadays I will actively tune into a WWE show if Sheamus is on the card.
I remember specifically what happened. We were in Nashville, and WWE happened to be in Nashville that day, and Jeff had this big party at some fucking private bar, which is very sweet. And he invited like all his WWE friends. And I remember Braun Strowman and OC and Rey Mysterio, and Sheamus was there. And Sheamus was talking to Rey. And Rey goes, "Do you know my boy Conan?" And he turns around, "Oh, yeah, he's always burying me." He goes, "What do you have against me?" And I go, "Well, I don't even know you, but I was talking about your, it's nothing personal, Archie. It's your work rate. I don't think, you know, I don't like your matches. You know, don't take it personal. That's just my opinion. What do you care what I think, you know?" And, you know, he was like, just turned around and ignored me. And then later on in the night, he did come up to me. He goes, "Hey, man, I'm sorry, you know, if I got out of line and shit. It's all good." But he did ask me about it, you know. But, bro, I mean, that Sheamus and this Sheamus are two different people. This guy right now, it's super, super, super over, and the people love him.
Right. Next is from George Gebhardt, and the subject is the WWE botched maximum male models. "Hey, guys. For weeks, close talker Max Dupree was doing promos for his modeling agency. We then get introduced to maximum male models, in my opinion, some hilarious modeling segments. Massé and Mensois really took to the gimmick. After a few weeks, we see them wrestle. The Maxine Dupree gets introduced, which in my opinion was unnecessary. Yeah, she's extremely hot, but what did she really add to the group? Felt like a little too much too soon. Tease of her breaking away to manage Los Lotharios never happened either. Then maximum male models get jobbed out to returning hit row not long after this. Max Dupree goes back to the LA Knight persona. I always figured he'd be wrestling again at some point, but with all the time they put into the Max Dupree gimmick, which I think got over pretty well, why revert back to LA Knight so soon? Especially on SmackDown. If he has moved over to Raw, fine, but with all the new NXT talent joining SmackDown lately, I think LA Knight will soon get lost in the shuffle, much like how it looks like his former maximum male models are about to be. You got any thoughts on this?" And that's from George Gephardt.
Yeah, I'm like, well, why did you change him from LA Knight to fucking Max Dupree if you're going to change him back to LA Knight?
Well, that was Vince.
Yeah, Vince was into
now
the
Vince
Max
Dupree. Now Vince
is gone,
thing. So now it's right. Like, yeah.
Okay, exactly. Well, I just thought they broke him up too soon. I really liked him with the male models, and I don't think she'll be able to carry the group like he did. He's special, bro.
She can carry the group as long as she wears like hot clothes.
But she can't really talk, and he can. Yeah.
Next is from Andrew Shaw, and the subject is, "I might be a little too high right now, but is there any streamers or streaming you watch right now? Obviously, it seems like streaming has always been the future. Streaming kind of feels outdated for me. I just want to know your thoughts. Is streaming ahead of the game or outdated? Maybe virtual reality or augmented reality could be build up more interest in wrestling. I don't know the answer, but I sure want to know what you think. P.S. Going off of Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg philosophy, K100 should mass-produce VR headsets. Just saying. What would we need virtual reality headsets for?"
Yeah, this guy is.
I don't even
high.
Know what to say. Yeah,
he's high. Yeah, this is, yeah. But Andrew Shamlin, maybe submit another email.
Let me just say this: I don't think streaming is outdated. I think it's what's now.
Right.
And I think VR and augmented future is the future, and VR is the future.
Next is from Alex Malone. "Dear K100, quick question: who does K100 and Disco think would win a fight between Dexter and Mr. Money, aka the Cat Mega Powers?
Who the fuck
suspend,
is Mr.
Yeah,
Money?
Suspend this guy.
Oh, Teddy's cat.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Dexter,
you know
cat,
what, bro?
Teddy's
I throw them both versus... out a window and hope they get run over. That's what I would do.
That's, you're an animal. Yeah. You're an animal wow. lover. There's no way I believe.
Yeah. Right. What's true, though?
Right. I would say that this is a suspension for a terrible email.
Coming hot
right.
and heavy today.
when you waste our time with dumb shit, you get suspended.
Right.
Next one's from Suganda Chanko. The subject is training Gable Stevenson. "Hey, guys. Hope you're all doing well. How's your health, Conan? Disco, you're a wrestling trainer, and Conan, you're a former wrestler who's currently a booker. It's reported that Gable Stevenson has recently returned to full-time training at the PC after heart surgery for a regular heartbeat. He trained with Ken Anderson for a few months. He's an Olympic gold medalist, super athlete, the greatest NCAA heavyweight wrestler ever, and was probably the biggest free agent in combat sports when WWE signed him. However, he's a little wooden when he speaks, and his face is quite expressionless. Disco, if you're training someone like Gable, what would you prioritize to make their work believable for them? Conan, as a booker, when you have a talent like that, what is the best way to introduce them and get them over initially?" When I work with people, I work on selling, striking, you know, making yourself look real, you know, make your facials look real. That's what I do. That's what I would work on with this guy is facial. Because there's so many people in wrestling that they get out there, they just don't. Their body language, facial expressions, is just like they're just not comfortable at all. And those are people you have to work a lot with, you know. So, but I could tell this guy is probably a guy that probably needs a lot of work if they're saying, he's expressionless, you know. So
I'm calling I'm calling fake news on some of the reports out there, because before his heart issues were reported, the Observer and other places made it seem like he wasn't being trained or wasn't in any plans because he isn't progressing in training as well as they hoped, when in fact the guy was out after a heart surgery. So that was nonsense.
Interesting. You got any comment to this, Conan? When you, as a booker, when you have a talent like that, what is the best way to introduce them and get them over initially?
Oh, like we did with Kane. You know, when Kane came in, we put him in with like Kevin Cross, who had some, and like an MMA, you know, combat background, and they meshed perfectly, you know. And so, and we were going to put him in there with ADR, who obviously was an MMA fighter. So we'd, you know, I'd put him in against guys that are well-versed in amateur wrestling or combat sports, and have them show him the ropes. You know?
Like Chad Gable and Otis.
Right.
Next is from Alex Figueroa, and the subject is Hit Row. Hello, team. My question is about Hit Row and how uninteresting they are as a team. The best thing that happened to them is Legato whooping their ass so they can be relevant. Question. What do you guys think about Legato with Zelina, and what's your overall opinion on Hit Row? I mean, that girl B-Fat is a good one-nighter, but that's all a stable has without Swerve Strickland. P.S. Conan, were you involved in the Mexico invasion to WWCW? It was a great angle where Perot stood out. Who is Perot?
You mean Perot?
Perot? Yeah, he feels like P-E-R-O-T-T.
Well, there is a guy called Perot, but I don't know what WWCW is.
I think he means Puerto Rico, Conan, yeah. WWC in Puerto Rico, I think.
Was there a Mexican
Yeah. Okay.
Mexican invasion of Puerto Rico.
Okay. Okay. So basically what had happened is Carlos Colon had been calling me for a long time to go to Puerto Rico, and I couldn't go to Puerto Rico. So I sent Pierrot, this guy called Jerry Estrada, another guy called Villano, Tejano, and Pierrot got over like a superstar.
Maybe that's who he meant.
And then I went to Puerto Rico, and I got mega over too. So, yeah, I was behind that. As far as Hit Row, this is my problem with them because, you know, urban acts are my thing. I just feel they're trying too hard to be cool. Nobody really acts like that, and they don't come off as authentic, kind of like the Street Profits did at the beginning, and then kind of the Street Profits kind of found their groove. Maybe they need to find their groove, because if you look at the Bloodline, everything they do, their dialogue seems authentic. They seem cool for real. And Hit Row seems very forced. They're trying too hard to be cool, you know? And I think that's their problem. I think Zelina with them, I don't think they need Zelina because Phantasma speaks perfect English. Not perfect, but he speaks very good English. Mm-hmm. And I don't need, they think Zelina, but she's a definite upgrade over the girl they had before, whoever the hell she was.
Well, a lot of these groups now have girls.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting away from, like, you know, all the women have to be wrestlers.
Right.
And it's good. Like, kind of, okay, we can have valets too. You know? So it's like, well, there's nothing wrong with that at all. It's kind of a formula that
we've
got
always
away
said
from
that. Right. And we've always said that, D.I.
It's like you've got.
They can't wrestle, use them as a valet.
Because, like, here's the thing. It's like you put an attractive girl on television, and if she's not good at wrestling, she loses her sex appeal. Which kind of makes you're not interested in watching her on TV. But if all she has is a sex appeal, and it's kind of like a compliment to the group. It's like, you know, she's good to look at.
Right.
You know, so it's like you don't change the good, right.
And Zelina's a good example because I was never high on her wrestling. She wasn't physical enough. She's very small, like bite size.
Right.
You know the little bite size baby roots they give you for Halloween?
Right.
It's like a little bite size thing. She's not believable.
Right.
But she's real good on the mic, and she's got a great look, and she ain't afraid to wear, like, really cool shit and look like a star.
Here's another thing, too. It's like, you know, like some of these girls, like the girls that wrestle and are good at it and look good are obviously the ones that are probably making the most money, right? But if you're, you know, if your wrestling's not that good, but you still look hot and you can make money, it's like, okay, you know, maybe you don't make as much as you would if you wrestled. But we still have a spot for you in the car where you're getting paid pretty good money just to be a good valet. You know, you may not work as much. You know, you're not wrestling, so you're probably not making as much as the girls that wrestle. But it's not like you're
yeah, that wasn't her strong point. She was never going to be at the level of Charlotte or Bayley or Sasha or any of those girls anyway. So
right. Okay, next is from James Musgrove. And Nick Hausman, the subject is Nick Hausman and the Rise of the Cuddly Comedians. Great interview with Nick Hausman in the most recent episode. Going to lay into him here, but to be fair, he seems like a nice guy, a nice enough guy when he's not signaling his virtues. The three of you completely disagreed with him in the Sasha Banks Sammy controversy. Nick Hausman has never made an off-color joke behind the mic in the Chicago stand-up scene. We've all made a ton of shitty and mean jokes, but are we supposed to cancel ourselves retroactively because society hasn't done it? My question to you guys is, who are we supposed to laugh at, and where do these SJW comedians get their inspiration from if the only comedy allowed these days is a sanitized modern crap? I don't expect you guys to know, but it's food for thought, and Hausman himself would never answer a question like that if I asked him based on his Twitter crap. And that's from Jimmy Musgrove. This email is kind of like all over the place here.
I don't understand the question.
Yeah, I don't understand. I think he's just trying to say, like, you know, who is Nick Hausman to make fun? Okay, here's the thing with the Sasha Banks Sammy thing, okay? Bro, Sammy made a comment, I would rape her. Sammy obviously is not going to rape her in real life. That's a figure of speech that people used to use instead of when you're attracted to a girl, you would say, oh, I'd rape her. Like she's really hot. Okay. Right. But now in the year 2022,
then we just pretend it isn't like
just
oh
those
God.
Words coming out of your mouth must mean, oh, you're a horrible person. You want to rape us. It's like, no, like that's not what he, you know, and the fact that he got punished for that when he said it like 4 years ago is to me, I think it's ridiculous. But like Nick thought,
yeah, and he still had to apologize too.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, an apology would have been fine there. Not that he's like, okay, I'm not, I don't really want to rape Sasha Banks. I apologize. I mean, come on. Like, you know, it's so absurd. But yeah, my question to you guys is, who are we supposed to laugh at? Or do these SDW comedians get their inspiration from? The only comedy allowed these days is sanitized modern crap. Dude, I'm telling you, if you're good at comedy, people will laugh at you and they will give you the pass. So if you're Bill Burr, if you're Chappelle,
Chris Rock.
If Chris Rock, Bill Maher, Joe Rogan, so bro, these guys kind of get a pass at saying things because, you know, bro, comedy, the thing about comedy is when you like a comedian tries to make the audience uncomfortable. It's like you say things that where the audience kind of look at each other and like they kind of laugh and they're uncomfortable. Bro, that's what comedians do. So you can't possibly like take any controversial topic off the, you know, like these are things you can't talk about. It's like that's ridiculous. It's like we're comedians. People are submitting themselves. When you watch a comedian, okay, if you watch a comedian and you're getting offended by watching a comedian, then you need to go back to school and learn exactly what the definition of comedy is. Well, because there's people that get pissed off at that, like these comedians. I'm like, dude, they're fucking comedians. Like, they're not, you know, these aren't politicians or the president. Like, they're people that try to make you uncomfortable, make you laugh, you know, or make people laugh at you because of the way you're reacting to things.
Well, what would you say to an audience that goes to comedy shows and says, hey, I didn't come here to be made uncomfortable?
Well, then then you're an idiot.
Then don't fucking go.
How do you perform for those people?
How stupid are those people?
Look, yeah. Joe, it's like these trigger warnings, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're unnecessary, bro, due to the fact that people are easily offended. They have no business fucking listening, browsing the internet anyways if you're going to be insulted by everything, you know? And it's almost like acts or words that are perceived to be insulting by a person who's looking to be insulted.
Right.
Right.
It's all bullshit. Over right. the top.
It's not genuine.
Over the top outrage, fake outrage.
Fake
it's
outrage.
All bullshit.
I saw something.
If you're going to a comedy show, And then don't go.
And think about this.
I go back to what I always said. For example, there's this show called The Pimple Popper or whatever.
Ugh, yeah.
Right. I've never seen it, but it doesn't sound like something I want to see. So guess what? I don't watch it. I don't go, can you believe there's a show? Can you believe this? For what?
Right.
I just don't watch it. And that's it.
Right.
People just want to be offended. They're so easily offended. Well, fuck you then.
Right.
Go stand in a closet somewhere and live fucking an alternative.
Don't preach to me how offended you are about something that you voluntarily decided to watch right here. Because
right.
Exactly,
I straight
right.
up don't give a fuck, Joe.
Right.
Think about this.
So when people go, why don't you do this to Billy? Because I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Just think about this real quick to wrap this up. Jerry Seinfeld, right? He's not exactly a cutting edge comedian, but Jerry won't perform on college campuses like a lot of comedians because you can't, because they're offended by everything. So,
right. Yes, an offense.
So you don't do college campuses. You go to fucking bars and other places.
That's why they
don't.
Yeah.
You go to fucking red states where guys don't give a shit, and they're like, "Yeah, we want to be entertained." You know, what the fuck,
bro? The whole thing about sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me is true. The way people were brought up like that, that's a good way to bring people up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because what happened is, you know, we got spanked a lot growing up. You know, like our generation, your parents spanked you on the bottom, you know, and smacked you and made you hurt a little bit and everything if you screwed up. So you would not screw up like in the future. So if like you make a mistake, you know. But what that does is it brings you up facing stress, facing pain and stuff, you know, physical pain and stuff, everything. So it's like when people are not brought up that way and are never exposed like physical pain, it's like the words do hurt a lot. Because now it's like, you know, like you didn't get spanked growing up. You never get in fights. You never had any like physical stress in your life, you know, or like had to, you know, like got bullied and had to stand up for yourself and fight and got punched in the face. It, like you never facing this. So of course, yeah, it was you see something offensive, it's like this generation's like, oh my God, I got like that hurts you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're not like when you can't differentiate between physical pain and mental pain, it's like and you there's no difference between the two. You sit there saying like, "Oh, words hurt." It's like, well, what do? They'll make you feel good and stuff. It doesn't hurt like you like getting spanked. Like, would you rather get read something offensive or get spanked on the bottom? And I think everybody and their mother would probably agree. I'd rather read something offensive than get spanked on the bottom. But we were taught, okay, you got spanked on the bottom growing up. So we can read, we can see offensive things and not get like, you know.
Bro, I've said this before. It's a shoot. My parents would beat the fuck out of me in public, and other people would just watch like, okay, well, he probably deserved it. Yeah, and I did. My parents weren't beating me up for no reason.
Right.
But today, you know, you do say, oh, I'm going to call social services. And how, bro, mind your own fucking business.
Right. Next is from Braden Lacefield, and the subject is backstage problems. Hey, K100 crew, the debut of Tales from the Territories discussed Jerry Jarrett's philosophy of real issues draw money. Even his son Jeff and Kurt Angle were able to turn their very real issues into one of the greatest feuds in TNA history. With that being said, are AEW's backstage problems another example of why Tony Khan needs to delegate duties to people who have real history in the business? Obviously, Omega's come to Jesus with the locker room didn't work. Should they bring in Dr. D. David Schultz now? Thanks as always, Braden. I mean, bro, if you listen to our show, we said Tony does need to delegate some stuff. And I've always said, you know, bring in a Kevin Sullivan, but you know, bring in a guy that knows how to write heat. You know, or like take issues like this and make them, you know, turn them into real. Because, bro, him and Benoit had real life heat and they turned it into TV. You know, so it's like, you know, Tony has no experience in that. And like he's showing he has no experience in that because they've had all these serious issues between people, real stuff, and they haven't made a dime off it.
Conan and Vampiro. You know, so,
yeah, Conan and Vampiro too. Right. You got a comment, Conan?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay. Next is from Matthew Hansen. And then the subject is Tony Schiavone mad with power. Hello, guys. Has Tony Schiavone gone mad with power? Tony Schiavone now is an action figure. Do you think anyone outside the Schiavone family will buy this? Conan, would you want one of those or get my Go shirt for Christmas? Peace and love. Matthew Hansen suspended from the mailbag for a week for bringing up Get My Go.
And yeah, I'd use Get My Go shirt to wipe my ass maybe. And I doubt that Tony's a guy that ordered that figurine. So I don't think he's drunk on power. Somebody, you know, that's probably a Tony call.
But right. I did hear that his action figure comes with a little earring. Just so,
does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Next is from Roy Lucier, and the subject is question about Hogan working AAA in 2007. Hey, Conan, I hope you're good. On Hulk Hogan's unofficial website with match lists and facts, there's a part about a canceled Hulk Hogan match from 2007 that reads like this. 7-15-07, Nacolpan, Mexico. Hogan was asked to wrestle for AAA's Triple Mania event after agreeing to Hogan's six-figure asking price, which would have been the highest amount anyone had ever been paid in Mexico. Unfortunately, personal issues forced Hogan to pull out of the event. Can you elaborate on this at all? Is this a rumor or was Hogan scheduled to work Triple Mania in 2007? Thanks again for joining us in Las Vegas and also during your time with Hulk in WCW. Did you ever discuss his two matches in El Torreo in 1983 and 1984? And that's from Roy Lucier.
Yeah, I never discussed his matches in El Torreo. And I'll give you another story on Hogan. He originally, when I was first brought into WCW, one of the plans was for Hogan to wrestle me in Mexico, and then I would wrestle him in the United States, and then we'd have like another third match somewhere. that was the original plan, and we even took publicity photos, which are somewhere. Mm-hmm. And but what I think happened was is when I went in there, they quickly realized I did not know how to rep, because they put the American title on me real quick, the U.S. title or whatever it was with One Man Gang. Mm-hmm. And I think Kevin, and I've never asked him, and I am going to ask him one day, but I never have. I think they realized I didn't know how to wrestle American style, which I didn't. Paul Lee made the same mistake. I only knew how to wrestle Mexican style. And I think once they figured out this guy doesn't know how to wrestle American style, they ixnayed that. So that was the original plan with Hogan. And this is probably 95, 96. 2007, we reached out to Hogan because we wanted him the main event, Triple Mania. And we did offer him six figures. And at the last second, something came up. I don't remember what it was, and he couldn't make it.
Interesting. Next is from Nicho. The subject is Feliz Cumpleaños, Jose. Hello, K100 gents. I guess yesterday was Joe's birthday, so I hope it was a good one. Joe, I did not wish you a happy birthday.
I know.
Did you notice that?
Yes, I did notice that. Yeah.
I don't, but you know I don't do that.
I know.
Did you have a good birthday?
Yeah, aside from not winning any money, it was good. It was good.
Yeah. As of now, I must halt my Patreon.
He was also raped by a tranny, but he forgot to throw that in there.
Right. As of
I
now,
said
I
it was good, didn't I?
As of now, I must halt my Patreon contribution. Times are tough, but I'll return, unlike Juan Unda. Just kidding, he's actually an all right guy. My question is, with all the hype over the Dahmer Netflix show, do y'all remember where you were when you first heard the news break, and what was your initial reaction from that in the trial? I didn't really pay attention to it that much, to be honest with you. I mean, we kind of knew the story, but I didn't watch the trial or anything like that, so...
I was absolutely fascinated with it, and I was I don't remember exactly where I was. It wasn't that fucking important to me, but I remember following it very closely on the newspaper, but nothing in depth like I've been seeing now with the documentary and the series.
Did you finish the series?
I'm on the last episode. I haven't finished the last episode.
It's good.
Next is from some Gunda Chanko. The subject is Young People with Attitude. Hey, guys. Hope you're all doing well. You guys have been killing it lately. Keep it up. Do you guys think a lot of the downfall with AEW is the attitude of the young wrestlers? Sammy has shown a lack of maturity and lack of respect numerous times. Adam Page says he doesn't take advice, but he would never be a world champion in any other wrestling promotion, ever. CM Punk spoke about young guys not listening. Daniel Bryan said the same, and so has Mox. Conan, how important is it to evaluate the attitude of a wrestler before signing them to protect your roster from toxicity, even if they are good in the ring? Do you think the WWE locker room is stronger leadership, which is why this stuff never comes out publicly?
100%.
Oh, by the way, Joe, some Gonda Chanko. Let's suspend him for double submission in the emails this week. Okay, write that down.
Because I've talked to Ray before, and, you know, just you can see the leadership in. He says they're very united. You can see the leadership there. You know, Hunter, Sean, Road Dogg are fucking excellent leaders, you know, and then they got X-Pac coming in and out, and then you've got, you know, you've got your veterans that everybody respects, like fucking Rey Mysterio. You know, so they got strong leaders there. They're very professional there. Roman's also a leader in the locker room. And I think they have a lot of young, immature people that came off the fucking indies, you know. But I just don't understand, because you also got guys like Taz and Mark Henry and Chris Jericho and Arn Anderson who should be regulating shit.
Bro, they sound like they give up, though.
Maybe.
I'll tell you something.
Yeah. I'm not going to say the name of the person because this person wouldn't want me to say it. But this is a person that never, ever, ever speaks bad about anybody. Mm-hmm. And this person told me it's incredible what babies the wrestlers are, how coddled they are, how entitled they are, how they don't want to fucking work for anything. She goes, it's nothing like it used to be, you know.
It's not, because, bro, let me tell you something, especially TNA.
Not everybody, but a lot of them.
Bro, when you had the young kids, you know, back then they were young, like AJ, the Machine Guns, like Sanjay and stuff. Bro, they never came across like they listened. Yeah. They were respectful. They weren't, you know, I mean, they had their role with you. There was like a thing, but they were never like disrespectful of the advice.
Yeah,
you know, like these guys these days, like they don't know any better. Like they don't want to hear anything else. You know. It's fascinating watching this, but all these guys are like 40 years old now. You know, AJ's 45. You know, the Machine Guns are like 38. You know, they're older, but like I said, when they were that age, they were far more mature than this generation at this age. You know, I'm definitely. You know,
I wanted to read you guys this quote from Eric Bischoff because it's about the AEW talents and the unhappy ones or whatever. He said, "Be ready for your opportunity. Injuries are a thing. Contract issues are a thing. HR issues are a thing. Just because you're at the bottom of the card or you're not getting as much television time as you think you deserve, keep your nose to the grindstone. You're getting paid good money and you're not on the road 300 days a year. I don't have sympathy for talent who are frustrated. How many people in the world would do anything to change places with you? And guess what?
Who said this?
Eric Bischoff. And guess what? Right. They wouldn't be bitching about how much TV time they're not getting.
Podcast. He ain't wrong.
Yeah. Next one is next is from Joseph Feeney Jr. It's Joe's dad. Subject is Santana Ortiz. Hi guys, haven't written for a while. Conan, on a recent Jim Cornette podcast, he insinuated there was a rift between Santana and Ortiz. Can you comment on this? Also, by the time this is read, I'd like to wish a happy birthday to my son and prince of podcasting, Joe Feeney III. I'm proud of you, especially for taking all the unwarranted abuse you take from Conan and D.I. So
I like you, Joe, but it's all warranted, and the prince of podcasting is a very whack name.
Yeah, you're suspended.
I don't approve that name either.
You got any comment on the Santana Ortiz beef?
Yeah, they ain't talking to each other, bro, and it breaks my heart because I spent a lot of time with them, and they're like, you know, I've said it before, they're like my sons, and I heard it almost got physical with Santana and Kingston over this, and it's not a good look, bro. I really hate seeing that these two guys who had they could have gone to WWE and really fucking blown up, that they've separated, you know? And I can see Santana, when his contract is up, leaving. Yeah. He was very, very – Ortiz is very chill, laid back. And Santana is more –
Who's the bigger – Ortiz is a smaller one and Santana's a bigger one,
Yeah,
right?
Santana's more of a hothead.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a shame because those guys were together before, you know, Impact and all that. They've been together a long time. Do you know what – or could you say what initially caused the rift or what began it?
Yeah, because Ortiz is like, hey, they ain't doing shit with us, and – Santana's like, they ain't doing shit with us, and he's right. And Ortiz is more like, you know, hey, we're getting paid, and, you know, we'll be taken care of. And he was comfortable in his role, and Santana wants more.
Right. Next is from Jose Sanchez. The subject is Orale. Let's talk LWO. Orale, arriba la raza. Orale, Simon. I have a question for K-Dog.
Simon.
How mad was he when the LWO came out and not being a part of it? He was misusing the Wolfpack and felt he should have united with Eddie to create the LWO.
What?
So the question is, how mad were you when the LWO came out and you were not a part of it?
I wasn't mad at all. Bro, I already told this story, but I'll say it again. I was originally going to be the leader, but then they put me in fucking...
NWO.
And the NWO. And I was so happy for Eddie because that's where Eddie first got his chance to shine and flourish and get on the microphone and be a leader and show some personality besides the fact that he was just a great wrestler. So, of course, I was happy for him and I was happy for all the Mexicans that were getting some TV time. They did some really cool shit together.
Next is from Dale M. Fortunio and the subject is 25 years. What's up, gang? It's your turn to drink the worm. Halloween Havoc 97's anniversary is coming up. I want to see what the overall sentiment was while Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio was going on in the back. Were people watching this in the back saying how incredible this match was, or was it something that had to resonate and for people to see over and over to get their best criticism? I know Disco had a match with Jacqueline, which worked out very well psychologically. Conan saved Henning from an irate flair, too. What was the sentiment while that classic match was happening? P.S. My wife loves the term Kmart Divas and saw Willow Nightingale called her Forever 2100 Pounds. Wow, that's an interesting comment there. Dale, we didn't mark out for matches in the back. Like, we thought everybody could work. You know, if you were watching the monitor, usually there were guys jokingly burying the work, like Hall and Nash would be there, like, burying stuff.
Well, I do remember specifically this match.
Right.
And I do remember specifically being in the back and going, this is one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. And I do remember specifically when they both came back, I was the first guy to hug them both. And I was like, wow, that was fucking incredible. I did mark out for that match.
Yeah, I didn't see that live, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Next is from Sean, because I was going over my stuff, probably.
Yeah.
Next from Sean Pfeiffer, and the subject is Saraya debut. Hello, fellows. When AEW is a new superstar coming to the company from WWE or somewhere else, why doesn't AEW do some kind of promotion for the talent such as Saraya? Why not do a video package for Saraya a few weeks out? Keep doing multiple video packages, even on the show they're going to debut on. If I knew Saraya was going to be in a certain show, I would have watched. That to me would jump the rating instead of always just coming out with no promotion. Just my opinion. That's Sean Pfeiffer. Yeah, I mean, we talk about their lack of video packages, or, you know, it's problematic. So whatever.
As an ECW fan that Tony was, I think he got hooked on the surprise appearance. Like, ECW used to do the lights out, lights on. Hey, right. Pillman's in the ring, whatever. So he remembers that, and I think that's his thing. Like, we need surprises, like Luger coming out on Nitro, that kind of thing. We need surprises to get buzz, and he's, like, hooked on it.
What do you think, Conan?
Both ways work. You know, some surprises are good, and video package, you know, saying, hey, this person's coming works too.
Next is from Brian Dunlop. This is a guy that's a pain in the ass on the YouTube, I think. Subject is Daniel Garcia a future world champion? Hello, Conan Disco. It's clear that Tony Khan sees a lot in Daniel Garcia. He's been booked like the company believes he's a future world champion. But how would you book young Daniel? And do you think he has what it takes to one day become a world champion? It looks like AEW is building to a Ring of Honor world title encounter between Garcia and Chris Jericho. Bad move? Garcia has a history with Lee Moriarty, both in AEW and on the indies. They could potentially put on a wrestling clinic for the Ring of Honor pure title. It could get great rave reviews, but it might not become a rating success. What's next for Daniel? What about another segment with Luigi Primo? A real match between the two, perhaps? That could be fun. Huge said that this Brian Dunlop guy is like the biggest mark in the YouTube comments, and I can see this, you know, because this guy is like, you know.
I don't think there's a bigger mark than Hughesley, but go ahead.
Right, right.
Do you remember this guy? He sent in a video saying he wanted to get involved in wrestling. And it was just like some random scraggly dude sitting in a chair.
That's this guy?
You mean like Crazy Eddie?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, that was him. That's how it started.
I think he's trying to be a booker.
He's trying to be a booker.
Well, he's getting suspended because he's got two email submissions here. One back to back. I'll read them both so we can suspend him from next week. Could Dolph Ziggler still be WWE champion one day? Hello, Conan Disco. A lot of people think the ship has sailed on Dolph. While he's a lot of fans that I'd love to see him have another big moment, do you think that Mr. Ziggles has what it takes to become the WWE champion? Ziggler has also had two reigns with the big gold belt. He is a main event prospect at one point. Clearly, that's not the case right now, but if WWE decided to throw the belt on him somewhere down the line, do you think that Ziggler would be able to run with the ball and make something good happen? I mean, he could, but they're not going to, you know? I mean, he's a good performer, so these are silly email submissions. You have any comment?
Yeah, poor Ziggler. He has it all, and I think he's damaged goods, and I don't think they would ever make him world champion.
Right.
Next is from Trailton, and the subject is Jimmy Jacobs, Matt Riddle, the Disco List. Hey, what's up, Conan, Disco, and Joe? Oh, we put Dixo, D-I-C-S-O.
Well, that could just be a typo, though.
I think it is, yeah. I'm a longtime listener, love the show. The question is for Disco. Believe you have Jimmy Jacobs on the list for painting his finger and toenails any color other than clear. Well, I agree that he should be on the list for that reason. The begs the question is why Matt Riddle isn't on the list for the same reason. Thanks for reading my question and keeping it 100. That's a good question, but Jimmy Jacobs was on the list because we had beef like back in the day.
And not only that, bro. Now the big thing is men painting their fingernails, so you'd have to put everybody on the list. Ever since Bad Bunny did it, now I see Sammy Callahan does it, and all these other wrestlers do it, and you'd have to put like 30 motherfuckers on the list. Like, that's the thing now, guys with fingernails. I'm waiting for Joe to.
You know, let me say something about that too. It for years that has been like a feminine thing, but I don't honestly like painting fingernails and toenails. To me, isn't like I don't look at that as like really feminine. I don't have a problem with it, to be honest with you, because people like wear. People are very loud and artsy and outlandish. Like, people have tattoos, different color hair, nose rings, stuff. And things. So to me, like, just.
Yeah,
just
but back in our day, if you painted your nails.
Of course. Yeah. But I'm like, that to me is a thing that I'm not, it doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
Because I see how freaky people get, you know, how they have the evolution of like the freaky looks and stuff. And then, like, so painting the fingernails isn't really that big of a deal. It's just another, you know, if people are going to be all tatted up, like, what do you care if their pink fingernails are painted?
Right.
You know, like that doesn't really make sense to me, right? So I don't really have a problem with it unless it's – but if it is – but I do have a problem with Jimmy Jake. All right. Next is from Miguel Lara, and the subject is X-Pac. What's up, OGs? So I was listening to the mailbag last week, and I'll talk about Jerry Flynn. Should you think of one of my favorite X-Pac, and he was really one of the first guys I seen doing the martial arts kicks, and he looked like he was always laying that shit in. Can either Conan or Disco confirm or deny the stiffness of X-Pac kicks? P.S. Joe, I apologize for stereotyping you on Star Wars and Star Trek. What does that mean?
Apology accepted. I don't know. He asked me a question in the mailbag about which was better or something. I was like, I don't watch them.
No, yes.
I think X-Pac was snug. Said Joe looked like a Klingon, and I agree.
So X-Pac was absolutely snug is the word we use when you're laying your stuff in. It's like you don't.
But not potato.
Right, not potato, but it's snug. Yeah. All right, which is good because snug works, looks better. Right, yeah, snug.